All right, ready to talk about pornography? Yeah, that's tough. Okay, we better pray before this one. Let's pray. God, we are tempted so much. Help us to see how your word addresses the temptations of our life, specifically how the seduction of pornography captures our very soul and destroys so much in our life that we succumb to that temptation. Guide us now, Lord, to hear your word and respond to it with faithfulness. Amen. As I've shared, we're in this kind of new sermon series called Shh. And over the next 5 weeks or so, we're going to be talking about topics that the church really doesn't like to talk about or doesn't address many times. And so today we're going to be talking about what the Bible says about pornography and temptation. Now, have you ever noticed that how opportunity knocks once, but that temptation keeps banging away at your door every single day? It's always there to entice us, and unless we are constantly on guard against it, we're going to slip and succumb to it. It might be temptation of fear. It could be the temptation of selfishness. It could be the temptation of gossip, right? Or temptation of pride and ego. Or it could be the temptation of pornography or the temptations of the world that kind of grab a hold of us. And we always have to be on guard not to accept any of it, even just a little bit. We all need to be watchful of temptation in our lives. As a story about two teens who wanted to see an R-rated movie, and the dad said, absolutely not. And he said that it had adult content of a couple of different kinds, and the movie was no place for them. But the teens, they said, well, you know, all of our friends have watched it, and it's great, but just in a couple of little areas, you know, it should be okay to watch that. And most of the movie was okay, but those few small parts, you know, they weren't going to hurt anybody. Well, the father said no, and the boys began to get upset, and so the father just said, hey, why don't you just go to your room? Why don't you just chill out a little bit? I know you're angry at me. Just go do that. Well, the boys, they went up to their room, and soon they heard kind of clanging in the kitchen and of pots, and something was happening down there, and about 30 minutes later, they got this waft of this great aroma coming from the kitchen, freshly baked brownies. And it was absolutely wonderful. And the boys were thinking, you know, maybe dad was just really, you know, he's kind of sorry for what he did. And he kind of upset us. And so he's kind of making us his brownies. And so a little while, the father brought up a plate of full stack of brownies, you know, chocolate, ooey gooey, just absolutely wonderful. And he offered them to the two boys. And the dad said, listen, nothing in here is fake. It's all natural ingredients. I use the best ingredients possible. But I put a little something in the recipe that it didn't call for. And the boys questioned what it was, and he said, well, see, I went out back and I grabbed some dog poop, and I put it in the mix. And the boys began to get sick, right? And they freaked out. They said, you put poop in our brownies? I'm allowed to say that in church, I'm guessing, okay? So, what's the matter with you? Are you trying to poison us? And the dad tried to explain that, you know, just a little bit wasn't going to hurt them at all. You know, the rest of the brownies are really good. I mean, everything's great about it. The kids didn't buy it for a minute. And the more the father kept saying, it was just a little bit, it's just a little. The boys just decided they were not going to eat them at all. And finally, the father said, now you understand why I don't want you to go to an R-rated movie. See, just a little doesn't seem to matter, but as you'll see in the brownies, just a small bit is still vile and unhealthy. And then he told the boys that there weren't any dog stuff in the brownies, but they threw them away, right? Just a little bit of temptation can take its toll on our souls, on our mind, and on our hearts. James 1. Now, I told you, right, when we were doing the book of James, I told you we're going to be getting back to these two verses. We didn't go over these two verses, but here we go. It says this, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by their own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to what? Death, right? We all have personal struggles with temptations in our lives, don't we? I mean, today I want to talk about how we will overcome those struggles together, not just struggles that come from outside of ourselves, but the struggles that come from within ourselves. And I want to talk to you about how we can have victory over the temptations that grab a hold of our lives that we have succumbed to. The definition of temptation is this, the act of enticement to do wrong with the promise of pleasure or gain. The act of enticement to do wrong by the promise of pleasure or gain. And that's exactly what temptation does, doesn't it? It entices us to sin in order so that we may get something that looks good or that feels good. Therefore, we need to understand what temptation says and what the Bible says about it. First of all, temptation is going to happen. No matter what you think, what you want, we are all going to be faced with temptation many times during our lives. Listen to what James says. When tempted, no one should say, God has tempted me. He doesn't say, if you are tempted. He says what? When you're tempted. We are going to find temptation in our lives. As long as we live in this flesh and live in this world, we are going to face temptation. Everybody faces temptation. It's not by accident that James talks about having temptations right after he talks about having trials, right? When we go through a trial, when we go through the suffering, we often use that as an excuse for giving in to the temptations of life. Sometimes we use hard times that we're going through to justify a day off from standing guard. The trouble with giving into temptation is this: it always leads to sin. Temptation never leads us to godly righteousness. The first fact about temptation is that we are going to have it. It is going to confront us. It is going to happen. Listen to these statistics about the temptation of pornography. Within the time of this message, within the 25 minutes of this message, there are 42 million users watching pornography during the 25 minutes of this message. People are spending $4.6 million during the 25 minutes of this message on pornography. Every day, there are 37 pornographic videos being made. 2.5 billion emails containing pornography are sent or received. 9 out of 10 people have access to free porn online. Listen to this. 1 out of 4, 25% of Google searches are about pornography. 25% of Google searches are on pornography. 16.9 billion, with a B, dollars are spent each year in the porn industry. 9 out of 10 boys, by the time they reach 18, will be exposed to pornography. 6 out of 10 girls will be exposed. 60% of all people in the United States have been exposed to pornography in the last 2 weeks. Friends, these are staggering statistics. That means if your row is full, right, or if you have a couple of rows around you, that means out of the 10 of you sitting in those row, 6 of you have probably looked at porn in the last couple of weeks. That means in our congregation of 300 people, 180 people have watched porn in the last couple of weeks. That's this whole service in the last couple of weeks. So yeah, temptation is going to happen. James is clear. Not if we are tempted, but when we are tempted. We are going to be tempted. The second fact about temptation is that God is never the one tempting you. Remember James 1:13, okay? I just said it just a few minutes ago. It says, God does not tempt anyone. And how often do we, when we get caught for doing something, immediately start blaming somebody else, right? I've done that before. I'm sure some of you have done that. Actually, adults do that a lot, don't we? You know, the first thing we do when we're caught doing something wrong, we put the blame out and we put it on somebody else or something else. It's that old Flip Wilson attitude, right? The who made me do it? The devil made me do it, right? And I think that's one of the biggest things wrong in our society today is our inability to stand up and take responsibility for our own actions. God may permit temptation, but God never directs us to it. We do that. Isaiah 6, it talks about the angels standing around God and they sing, holy, holy, holy. And holy means separated from sin, apart from sin. God has been separate and apart from sin. That means he cannot direct us towards any kind of temptation. We are the guilty ones on that account. We make the choices to accept temptation in our lives. And through that choice, we enter into sin ourselves. We are the ones who do this. The third fact about temptation is always aimed at individuals. And as we live our lives, there's two paths we go on. We either choose the path of God or we choose the path of the world. One is oil, one is water, and they never mix well. Remember the sermon from last week where Pastor Kim talked about how we are to choose to follow God, how we are to walk with God, how we are to walk with God and not of the world. 1 John chapter 2 says this, "Do not love the world or anything of the world," it says. "If anybody loves the world, loves the Father, is not in them. Everything in the world, the craveful, sinful man, the lusting of eyes, the boasting of what he has done, comes not from the Father, but of the world." We should be more comfortable if James said that temptation comes from the devil, because then we can blame the devil for it. But here he says it comes from our own evil desires. "Oh, please, Satan, don't tempt me to eat that piece of cake." "No, I want cake. I'm going to eat the cake. It's on me." James places the entire responsibility for temptation and succumbing to temptation on our shoulders. So we can see now that when we yield to temptation, it's an individual thing. That I yield to temptation, it begins and ends with me. Romans 6:13 says this, "Do not offer parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been bought from death to life. Offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness." Don't try and peacefully coexist with temptation. It never works for your benefit. It'll only cause you to stumble and to hurt yourself. We all have the tendency to play with temptation, don't we? It's like a man who brought 2 dozen donuts into work one morning. One of his coworkers asked him why he did it since he was on a diet, and he said, "God told him to do it." He said, on the way to work, he passed Dunkin' Donuts, and he said, he asked God if he was supposed to go there, that he would open up a parking spot right in front of the front door. I know some of you have done this. Come on. I know you have. "God, if you were here, if you want me to get donuts, you open up that spot right in front of the front door." And he says, you know what? The chances of that happening. And yet the man said he looked up and he saw it right in front of the door. There was an open spot. On his 10th trip around the store, he pulled right in and he did that. Yeah, see, we like to play with temptation, don't we? When we play with temptation, we will choose to sin. If we do anything else in life that enables a little bit of sin to be around us, we kind of tolerate that too, right? And if we tolerate it, we're going to lose. And the more we tolerate sin in our life, the more we tolerate temptation, the more we yield to that. And the more we yield to that, the more we sin. And the more we sin, the more we lose. And the more we pull ourselves away from God, and the more we pull ourselves away from one another. Culture has inundated us with images that overwhelm us, takes us away from our natural connections, and lead us to places that have damaged families and friends and lives. And many people deny or rationalize the use of porn, saying, "Hey, it's only entertainment. What's the harm in looking at pictures? I mean, God made beautiful bodies and I enjoy seeing them. I mean, after all, looking doesn't hurt anybody." The truth is, looking at pornographic images erodes healthy relationships and easily becomes a pathway to adultery and other serious problems. A woman who discovers her husband using porn feels betrayed and often leads them to think that they are not worth their husband's effort and time. It leads to feeling as though they're never good enough or able to match up to the women that their husbands are looking at online. Conversely, a man would feel betrayed if he discovered his wife having sexually explicit conversations with other men on the internet through texting and even through the images and videos his wife is looking at, leading the same, "I will never be good enough." You see, both women and men are susceptible to low self-esteem and low self-worth issues when pornography comes into a relationship. It will destroy it. Some people feel so hopelessly trapped that they think that there's no way out. And the fact is that while God's word does not specifically mention pornography, it most definitely addresses the issues of inappropriate sexual arousal and promiscuousness. The Ten Commandments say you shouldn't commit adultery, you should not covet your neighbor's wife. But Jesus even sets a higher standard, clearly warning us about the destructiveness of just looking. He said, you've heard it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone that looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, you are to gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body being thrown into hell. Jesus was using a figure of speech to say that we should take drastic action. Do whatever it takes to stop sinning. Obviously, that means to not look at somebody else with a lustful eye. Flee from sexual immorality, 1 Corinthians says. All other sin a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sexually sins, sins against his own body. Do you know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body, is what Corinthians says. The passage continues with a very interesting directive. The Word of God, see, when God tells us that we are to stand firm in battle, you hear that all the time, Old and New Testament, stand firm in battle. But when it comes to sexual temptation, the Bible says, run away as fast as you possibly can. God wants us to live up to higher standards than the world's with Jesus as our role model. And whether we are single or married, the Bible exhorts us in Ephesians, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, nor any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Friends, there is hope. There is hope to get over an addiction of pornography, to get over your addiction or to the temptations in your life, the temptations of greed, of ego, of pride, of gossip, of talking bad about others behind their backs. 1 Corinthians 10 gives this promise, and I really want you to listen to these words. It says, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I love that. And God is faithful, it says. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God gives us a chance to escape the temptation, but we must be willing to take it. God has promised to give you ways out, and the most impacting way that he gives you out is through his son, Jesus. And so in the few moments remaining, I'm going to give you some practical things you can do if you are struggling with temptation, and specifically this temptation of pornography. First, it's the Sunday school answer, turn to Jesus. That's always a good thing. And people struggling with sin may think, well, I'll turn to God after I clean up my act, but I'm not good enough to come to him yet. And here's the plain truth. We can never clean ourselves up good enough before God, because God does that for us. Ephesians 2 says, for it's by grace that we've been saved through faith. This is not from ourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. When we truly repent of our sins and give God our whole life, broken and messy as it may be, he gladly accepts us as our children and he gives us a new life. Ephesians says, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by evil desires, and being made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on a new self, which is in Christ, a new life in God. Take off the old self and be made new. Number two, spend time with God daily. This is absolutely essential that we look to God for strength and wisdom each day. Spend time reading, studying, meditating on the scriptures. Prayer is needed. It said right in James 1, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask, right? And anybody who asks, well, it will be given to them, right? Learn to cry out to God quickly when you're confronted by trials, temptation, and the desire to yield to the temptations in your life. When Peter was sinking in the waves, he prayed one of the shortest prayers in all the Bible. He said, what? Lord, save me. And he was immediately saved. Three, choose your allies. Right? Although we certainly must go directly to God to confess our sin, to receive forgiveness, there are times, friends, in which we need the body of Christ. And I'm telling you this as a brother who's been there. Many of you have been freed from pornography and different temptations because you know you cannot do that battle alone. You need somebody to walk with you. You need someone to encourage you, to challenge you, to hold you accountable. You need to be methodical about avoiding different kinds of situations. You need to allow them to seek your direction, seek your way, so that you can walk through it with hope and grace. Right? If any of you, if two of you ask for it, right, it will be done. Going to church on Sunday morning is great. And I want you here every single Sunday. I don't want you here, you know, 1.7 times. Was that what it was? 1.7 times a month. I want you here every Sunday, right? And that's wonderful, and that's great, and we can encourage each other as the body of Christ. But you need somebody, one-on-one, that can hold you accountable, that can walk with you. Or you need a small group of people who can walk with you and hold you accountable for the life that you're living, praying that it's founded in Christ. James says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person is both powerful and what? Effective. Number four, identify your triggers. I tell this to everybody that I meet who's struggling with any kind of temptation. Find your triggers. It's important to identify what situations trigger you to stumble and fall into temptation or addictive activities, such as walking past a magazine rack in Walmart, or driving through a certain part of town, or staying at a hotel during a business trip, or opening the Sunday paper with those lingerie ads in the middle of it, right? Logging onto the internet. Once you know your weak points, you must be methodical in avoiding those situations. Another good defense is to call a mentor or an accountability partner. That person can walk with you in prayer and encourage you in prayer, speak truth into your life, breaking the power of temptation. My phone number, if you need to call anybody, is 240-357-1603. You call me if you are in a moment of temptation and you need a phone call. You can phone a friend. It can be me. And then finally, remember to halt. Never get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or too tired. Realize that you are more vulnerable to addicting behaviors in these times. You are more vulnerable to acting stupid in those times when you are too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or too tired. Immediately stop what you're doing. Get some food in your belly. Stop what you're doing. Count to 10. Stop what you're doing. Call me. Stop what you're doing. Get some sleep. When you're too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, you will fall into temptation a lot easily. But here's the end game, friends. The fact is, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are just and are justified freely by his grace and the redemption that came through the cross. That is the fact. That we are going to fall, we are sinful, but God is right there, and his son Jesus is right there to walk with us. Do not wait another moment, and ask God to come into your heart right now, and even when it may be filled with sin, allow God to kind of shine that light in the very darkest parts of who we are. Allow him to kind of radiate that light within our hearts so that through the cross, through the blood, through the body that Jesus, that will overwhelm our addiction, overwhelm our temptation, and that will release us from the bondage. And this is tough. It's not done overnight. I can't say, hey, God, I no longer want to gossip, and then tomorrow I'm no longer that person. It is a process that takes time and effort and patience. But I have seen time and time again people who were bound by sin released from that sin, and that relationships have been restored, that marriages have been saved, and that lives had been renewed in Christ when they spend the time to do that. Friends, sin is overcome by one thing, Jesus. Temptation is overcome by one thing, Jesus. And this world and all of its trappings and all of the things that are thrown our way is overcome by the one who desires to give us a life, and not just an ordinary life, an abundant life that is found in him. And so when we surrender to him and we give our lives to him and together we walk in his light and who he calls us to be, that sin, that temptation will fade away. And what will be left is the power and the blood of Jesus. God, we thank you so much for this day and for our time here this morning. God, we know that, yeah, we falter and we fail and it's difficult and the temptation is there and the struggle is real. And I mean, even pornography, God, I mean, you just type anything inside of the Google search and you're bound to find something there. So God, help us and encourage us to find ways in which we can just release all of those things to you and just give you our whole life, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, our Google searches, our walks in Walmart, everything, Lord God, that we just surrender to you. And yeah, the temptation of pornography is always there, but so is the temptation to gossip, and so is the temptation to inflate our own ego and our own pride, and so is the temptation to be impatient. And so, God, we just pray and we just give you our lives right now and just prepare our hearts and encourage our spirits to just release all those things to you. Walk with us, encourage us, and empower us to live lives that are worthy of the calling that you have for us as disciples of your Son, Jesus. For we share these things and we pray these things in the name of the one who is eternally grace, Jesus the Christ. Amen.